Today on Courage.
It's just part of who I am, that I want to be there for other people and support them however I can.
A caregiver who's seen it all. Meet a woman with a different kind of courage. She helps others cope with debilitating conditions. I know this because I'm one of those she's helped.
You know, if it meant delivering 6 crunchy tacos to you in bed when you were on steroids, that's what I did.
From cancer to MS to epilepsy, this nurse shares how caring for others isn't always what you expect.
It's critical. I mean, because if the caregiver doesn't take care of themselves, they're not going to be able to be worth anything to care for the family or care for the person that's diagnosed.
All this and more today on Courage. Welcome to Courage. I'm Brenda Snow. Now, I hope all of you are ready for another powerful story of hope and inspiration. My guest today is a little bit different than our previous guests. She hasn't been diagnosed with cancer, and she doesn't have a chronic medical condition. But there's no lack of courage here, that's for sure. So I'm very excited to introduce you to my aunt, Melinda Snow. Battling cancer or any disease is rarely done alone, and what is required of caregivers can be totally overwhelming. Melinda really embodies the passion, the dedication, and the tenacity that it takes to be a great caregiver. I know, she was there for me when I was diagnosed with MS. Courage comes in many forms, including patience, understanding, and unconditional support. And that's why I can't wait for you to meet my Aunt Melinda. Let's take a look. You kind of have a caring spirit. I think it started off with your, well, even start off when you were little, always bossing everybody around. You're going to say I was the bossy one.
Yeah, you were the bossy one.
Okay, but you have, like, you're a nurse. So tell me what it is about caregiving that inspires you.
Well, I just feel like there's so many people out there that may not have somebody special in their life or may need other people in their life just to help support them. So I was always drawn to the caregiving role through, you know, my work in public health, through my career choices as a nurse. I really just wanted to support people. I've always, I don't know, it's just within me. It's just part of who I am, that I want to be there for other people and support them however I can.
Well, let's talk about our family disease. Mm-hmm. So grandma, your mom, breast cancer.
Yep.
My aunt, your sister.
Yep.
Same type of breast cancer as grandma.
Yep.
And then your brother, my dad, prostate cancer.
Right. And then on mom's side, grandma's side, her sister died of breast cancer, Aunt Norm. All her brothers had some form of cancer, prostate cancer primarily.
Well, that's what I think about when I think of dad. Mm-hmm. It's like he's the first generation that did not die of prostate cancer.
Yeah, yeah, because all of his uncles did actually die of prostate cancer. So, I mean, it's definitely a threat in our family.
So tell me what you felt. I think dad was the first one to get diagnosed with cancer, which came just a couple years after my MS diagnosis. And like I said, we'll talk about that because you were my primary caregiver when I was sick. Mm-hmm. How did you feel when dad, your brother, got prostate?
I mean, really afraid because I knew the family history with my uncles. And, you know, your dad is like my dad in a lot of ways. I mean, I grew up with him. And so seeing him go through that was really, really scary.
I mean, I'm happy to say dad was a fighter, like all of us knows, mm-hmm. courageous people. And he is doing well. So I think it's been 15 years. Since his diagnosis, yeah. And, you know, thank heavens.
Yeah, he's doing great.
What do you say to encourage people that kind of stop their life, that aren't enjoying or trying to, you know, have fun? I mean, I hate to use that mm-hmm. word because cancer is not fun. I'm not implying that, but to try to keep living during all of this.
Yeah.
What do you say?
You know, I think it's important just from the family perspective to always, you know, have the little things available to the family member that's going through it. Remind them, you know, send them a picture if you live far away of what's going on in your life. Remind them of, you know, the positive things still around them, help them to enjoy simple things. You know, if it's fixing breakfast for them and taking them out, or it could just be anything like that. I think that it's really important to just, you know, keep it simple and just remind them that their family's there, that there's people that love them, and that they're not alone, primarily, I think is the key, that, you know, people can accomplish a lot when they feel like they're not alone. And I think that if you are diagnosed, a lot of times you do feel like this is me alone dealing with this and I have this. But in reality, you know, it is a family issue and you're not alone. And there's people and friends, hopefully, that are around to help support you. I think that's the key thing.
I'm struck at how hard it is to be a caregiver, mm-hmm. a caretaker, the, you know, like I said, the cancer cheerleader mm-hmm. or the condition cheerleader. What's your advice or what's your experience to kind of let our caregivers that are watching us know that they need a break too? They can't do this 24/7 without thinking about some of their own goals and what they can do to make their life mm-hmm. happy. I mean, do you have any thoughts on that subject?
Well, yeah, I think it's critical. I mean, because if the caregiver doesn't take care of themselves, they're not going to be able to be worth anything to care for the family or care for the person that's diagnosed. So they have to take care of themselves. And if it means getting respite care, having a neighbor come in and help out, or take their loved one to treatments one or two, you know, times a week, it is making sure that you have time for yourself. And I think looking at the things that also bring you joy, maybe if it's a favorite hobby, but making sure that you have that outlet, because, you know, truly, you are not going to be helpful to your loved one if you are just completely burnt out and fried.
It's funny because I'm now coming up on 19 years being diagnosed with MS. And you were my rock. So a lot of it I can't remember because I was mm-hmm. on so many medications
yeah.
and so sick. So tell me what you think you did for me that got me through and made my life so much better.
Well, I tried to make sure that you knew other things were being taken care of so you didn't need to worry and you could just focus on yourself.
We have Kleenex here, damn it, right?
Yeah, somewhere. You know, Stephanie, your daughter, I just wanted to make sure that you knew, you know, she was being taken care of either by me or family members.
You've been a great second mom.
So that you could focus on yourself and your health and, you know, just getting stronger and better. You know, if it meant delivering six crunchy tacos to you in bed when you were on steroids, that's what I did, you know, and I just wanted to also keep the laughter in your life and not make you feel discouraged and just, you know, really just try to give you hope that you were going to get out of the bed, you were going to be able to walk again, you know. And I remember walking around the hospital rehab center with you with a walker and, you know, just encouraging each step and us, thank goodness.
And I remember you challenging me because, you know, I love a challenge. And I was like, oh, really? Mm-hmm. But I think it gave me that courage and that fighting spirit because it was like, I can't let this beat me.
Yeah. And people have got to keep their humor through things. And I think that's where, you know, we've always kind of lifted each other up. You know, you've supported me in a lot of ways too, but I think that it's through the humor and just, you know, challenging each other, giving each other a bad time when we know each other deserves it. And, you know, just trying to keep you motivated back then.
Yeah, but I think you touched on something good, that hopeful thing. And I never realized it till now, is that I think that was a tremendous help. And maybe for other people out there and their families to know that those other things that have, life doesn't stop. Mm-hmm. And that was really an interesting perspective. Like, I knew Steph would get to school. I knew she was going to be fed. I knew that she wasn't going to feel abandoned, that, you know, that the people that were familiar to her circled the wagons mm-hmm. and sort of that consistency because, yeah, I was totally unable to do it, as you know, but I didn't also worry about it either because I think if I had been worrying about it, I may not have had yeah. the outcome that I've been able mm-hmm. To have over 19 years.
Yeah, I think so too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that that's probably the most important thing that caregivers can do for their loved ones is just to make them feel like they are supported, that there is, you know, hope. Keep the humor in mm-hmm. in the situation as much as possible, and you know, just try to lift each other up. But it's really critical for the caregiver to make sure they're also taking care of themselves.
Mm-hmm. What does courage mean to you?
I think courage means being able to rally the forces, whether it is the people around you, whether it's something internal, whether it's your faith in a higher power, pulling all of that together and being able to, you know, look outward and take a step forward. And it may be a step at a time. It doesn't have to be, you know, gigantic leaps. But I think having that strength to really move forward is what courage means to me. And it comes from so many different forces.
Yeah. Well, Melinda Snow, as we call you, Auntie Min, you've been, I love all my guests, but I got to say, personal favorite right here, but you are my best friend too. So thanks for sharing
your, I love you.
I love you too. Thanks for sharing your perspective and for taking care of so many great people in our family.
It's always been an honor.
I love you.
Love you too. Mwah.
I'm very lucky to have Melinda in my life, and I hope all of you out there who are affected by cancer or a chronic medical condition have a Melinda in your life too. So let's just think about some of the things that, you know, I think Melinda brought to the surface, that it is tough to care for others. So for you caregivers out there, don't forget to take care of yourself. Don't feel guilty for time away to do something to rejuvenate you. You can come back to that care situation in a much better place. And, you know, make sure that your family member knows that they're not alone. I know that that was something I really struggled with 17 years ago, 19 years ago, early with my MS journey. I just felt like the only person that had MS and that was happening to. And thanks to Melinda, she helped heal that. So thanks for watching this episode today. We love you at Courage. So if you want to see more stories about Courage, head over to courage.tv. You can watch past episodes and stay up to date on our future shows. And I want you to like me, okay? So go to Facebook, click like, follow us on Twitter. Let's stay connected. And we're always looking for amazing people to be on the show. So if you're watching, you have to be amazing. Send me an email. I would love to hear it. You can reach me at brenda@courage.tv. So from everyone here at Courage, lots of love. See you next time. And thanks for watching. Bye-bye.